Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for the local take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, we're joined in the studio by Miss Sonia Booker. Sonia, welcome.
Thank you, Kiplin.
And Sonia, I was going to say, Sonia Booker, an entrepreneur, a speaker, motivational speaker, a real estate developer. I mean, there's so many things that I could put behind Sonia Booker. So really, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to talk about the event that you did in March.
Yes.
To celebrate your feature in O Magazine.
Woo! Yes, yes. So I was chosen as one of the features for O Magazine, and we celebrated that on March 18th during Women's History Month and had a big celebration, and also incorporated 12 other women in the community that are building wealth and leaving legacies and got to spotlight them. And so it was just a great time.
And that's not the end of your wonderful events, because you are launching specifically for Financial Literacy Month, a wealth building workshop.
Yes.
About building and creating generational wealth.
Yes.
Share exactly what that means. What does building wealth mean, and what is generational wealth?
So, you know, this vision came about 3 years ago, you know, just going to different seminars and conferences and feeling like, you know, not only was I not getting what I needed, but people were being kind of left with no real direction. So I wanted to create a workshop where people can come in. And it's age-appropriate information, and it's life-appropriate information. So you do all the work. You write your own wealth-building plan while you're there. What are some of the things that you want to plan for your retirement? What, you know, how old are you now? What age are you planning to retire? How much money do you want to make? How can you start creating that? When you get a plan, what I find is that that kind of helps to ensure that you, it's like 55% more ensure that you're going to get to where you're going. Once you write it, you write that vision, you make it plain, and then you get the information to put behind that plan to make sure that it works. And you'll be surprised that when people come in contact with information on real estate, on you know, creating multiple streams of income, because that's a big wealth building principle, getting out of debt, or, you know, repairing their credit. I mean, when we make this information in such a way that you get it and you understand that, hey, I'm paying too much in interest and I'm throwing away my wealth by paying $200 more for a car because of my credit score. You know, when you understand that, and then, you know, the light bulbs that go off, it's like, that's all I need to do to fix this, to make this jump, you know. But it's just about the information in a way that we can absorb it and we can actually put it to work.
I'm always surprised that people think they don't make enough money to save.
Yeah.
And I remember when I had to learn mm-hmm. how to save. And I think a lot of people think it's an intuitive thing.
Yeah.
But if someone hasn't kind of, as you said, kind of set you down
right.
and said, what is it that you're trying to do?
Yeah.
Whether it was buying my first car, my parents said you had to pay the car note for 6 months first
yeah.
without a car,
yeah.
which gave you the down payment
and
for a car.
And the discipline of putting that aside so that when you had it, you were
would
ready.
Be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a lot of people don't get those lessons.
Right.
How is it that, you know, we've got the folks who kind of get those lessons,
yeah.
understand what saving means and how to save even when you have nothing, and folks who live paycheck to paycheck, not because they have to,
yeah.
but because it seems like they spend whatever they
whatever.
Get.
And you know what I've found is that it's really, it starts with a mindset. So I call it building wealth, $1, one decision at a time. You know, and so most people go, okay, I have a dollar. You have my attention. And so just being very thoughtful about how you spend your money every day. Is this the best use of this dollar that you're always asking yourself? Is this the best use of this dollar? Should I spend? Should I buy this Coke or buy this, you know, coffee or whatever today? Or should I put this money in my account to do something for a future gain? So when you never really know what that future gain is that you're working toward, whether that's college education savings or retirement or wanting to get out of debt or saving for a house, when you start applying just those that mindset around asking yourself those questions, because we're such in a microwave society that we want everything now, but we have these grand plans for 10 years from now or 5 years from now or even tomorrow. So we, you know, really making the best decisions today for tomorrow. And when you start doing that, like you said, now when you're paying that car payment for 6 months, you start doing that and it becomes, it does become a bit intuitive. It becomes second nature that you're always just thinking about. You're just thinking about it.
And it is one of the things that it seems to be lacking, not just in our community, but kind of culturally in the new generation,
yeah.
You know, that microwave,
yeah.
Wanted on demand rather than saving, you know, save for vacation,
right.
Save for education, yeah. Save for the car, save for the house.
Well, yeah.
We seem to think that everybody just went out there and got it. But
well, debt did that to us, you know, and like your parents and, you know, they just didn't have debt. They didn't really deal with debt. And so, you know, as much of a financial footing that I received, no one told me about debt, especially going to college, that people are going to send me a credit card. Like, you know, okay. And, you know, my young people, I always say, you know, would you pay $500 for a bag of 50-cent potato chips? You know, the answer is no, right? But I did that in college because I didn't pay off a credit card bill from college until almost 10 years later. And I didn't even remember eating the bag of potato chips, you know, but sitting there looking at the amount of interest. So we're in this world that when we stop and we process what this really means, you know, do I have the money to do this? This is the best use of, you know, using this credit card and being responsible. But because we've just grown up in a society that says swipe, and now we have chips and we're, you know, inserting cards instead of swiping cards. And I've even, you know, just that reflex of swiping has become second nature, that my 7-year-old is starting to do it, where you're going, hey, it's a little more to this.
That we have to. It's more behind that swipe.
It's more behind the swipe in terms of, you know, where's the money coming from, and how are we tracking that, and starting to teach those principles really early, that, you know, it's not you swipe it, it's there, and, you know, and so we really have to start early, and that's what I found with our youth, that it's not that they don't know, it's just the parents aren't keeping information from their kids. A lot of times they don't know and understand. So we want like a whole family to be able to be, you know, educated in financial principles, because, you know, a family that grows together builds wealth together. You
and
know?
On the same mindset, and it makes it easier.
Exactly.
Now, one of the things that you also talk about that is real estate being the foundation of,
yeah,
wealth building.
Yeah.
And we know in 2008 with the real estate crash, mm-hmm, a lot of people lost equity. Mm-hmm. A lot of homes were underwater. A lot of that has kind of settled out.
Right.
But we still have in neighborhoods that are majority African American, mm-hmm, a lot of times the home prices don't increase.
Right.
Is it for us, are we going to have to live and move to diverse communities for real estate to really be that kind of generational foundation that's passed on?
Well, you know, Kipling, the thing about real estate is it's not necessarily your first home is not necessarily bought as an investment or as a bank. It, you know, it really is bought because you have to have a place to live. It's like water, food, real estate. What's the shelter? You know, and so when you buy it from that perspective, I think what happened in, you know, 2007, 2008, there were a lot of bad loans and there were a lot of over leveraging that people didn't understand. They just didn't have the information to make the best decision, to know that that was never the real value. It was an inflated, you know, kind of make believe value that people were buying into. You know, it's always say you think that you want like this 10-20% appreciation and, you know, oh, wow, it's worth this today and this tomorrow. But no, real estate is slow and steady wins the race, because what you want to do is to be able to pay that property off. You know, instead of paying $1,000 to rent, you're paying $1,000 to mortgage. You're owning it, having something to show for it at the end of that time. and you have something to pass. You have an asset. So when bought with, you know, the right information behind it, it's a really good sound foundation for building wealth. Now, there are other principles in terms of when you invest in real estate that you look at a little differently because you're buying it from an investment standpoint. But you really have to understand real estate. And that's what I found in 2008 when I came in contact with a lot of people that were losing their properties. And I kind of got involved with helping them. And they didn't understand the type of loans. They didn't understand they had an adjustable rate mortgage. And why was the rate going up? And why was there a balloon payment? So the understanding wasn't there, which was why, you know, writing the book Real Estate and Wealth, Investing in the American Dream was so near and dear to my heart to really be able to give people a step-by-step guide of this is what a settlement statement is. This is what a contract is. Before you go and sign 100 documents, look at them and read them and understand what they mean before you go so you'll know what questions to ask.
And a lot of times that was it. People weren't asking questions.
Right.
They were looking at that first monthly payment.
Right.
That was doable. They signed.
They signed and no big deal. Not anything for after what was happening after this year, after 3 years. And even, like I said, in the market, everybody thought, oh, wow, this appreciation is, you know, today is worth $200,000 and tomorrow it's $220,000. No, that's red flag. That's not, you know, something to be excited about. Yeah, so, something to be cautious about. You
know? So real estate is the slow and steady.
Real estate is slow and steady. Yeah. And especially because we get to pass that from a generational standpoint, you know, to our families and to our loved ones. And that's the, you know, that gift that kind of keeps on giving that, you know, you're starting each generation off on a better footing. You know, so even if they don't want to live in grandma's house, they can at least sell a house that's paid for and go and put that into another house that they do want to live in. So either way, it gives you something than nothing.
And some people, rather than selling, may want to rent or develop.
Absolutely.
So we know in the South,
right,
there are lots of folks who have grandma's house somewhere, sometimes in a small town.
Big mama's house, right, yeah. Uh-huh.
Sometimes just in the SWAT.
Right.
What should those folks be looking for or looking to do to ensure that that wealth is stays there to pass down? Even if you said, like, grant, you know, I don't want to live there.
Right.
But what are some of the options that they should consider before maybe just going to say, oh, let's just sell it?
It's so many options. And you know, that's the beauty of real estate, that it gives you those options. So you can say, hey, let me go and just fix it up enough to get a renter in it. And then I'm making income from it. A lot of people sell wood off of their land from trees. You know, the power companies will pay you for solar energy off of your property. I mean, just raw land or a property that's not up and operable. So it's all kind of ways that you can generate income from this property, even if it means that you're going and you're going to do like a, I don't want to get too fancy, a 1031 exchange and use that property into something else. Or you go and you sell it and use that property to buy other property because you know that that's kind of the intended purpose of it. So you're going, okay, I don't want to be down there, but I'm going to sell that. And then I see some property or some opportunity here. So use it. You know, it's real estate. Use it to build wealth based on what you're trying to do. I think that that's the important part, to know its options.
And where do people start? Do they start with a contractor? Do they start with your workshop? How do people start? Because as we've talked about, there are people who are paying taxes on property.
Right.
It's in the family, and Big Mama said not to sell it.
Right.
So it's just there.
It's just there, yeah.
What should those folks start doing? What kind of questions should they start asking?
Well, they should start talking to local realtors and developers. You really want to kind of start reading books and, you know, workshops and stuff in a sense of what is it to expand your mind to the options. You know, and then start thinking about what's the option that fits what they're trying to accomplish. Prime example, I just had a lady who has some property down in South Carolina. And she called me. She said, you know, Sonia, this property has been sitting there and I've been getting all these calls of people wanting to buy it. And I was thinking about selling it, my dad, some land that her dad left her. And I said, no, if they're calling you, something's happening, you know, already the antenna. So I said, you should go there. And, you know, we start looking for some reputable developers and partnering on a project, either where they could develop it as rental or develop it as condos. But how you structure and stay in that deal makes that, you know, the how you win, because you might be saying, I don't know how to develop. I don't know where to start. So you want to start talking and having those conversations. And then, you know, with people who've done the work there, and then understanding what kind of contract and how you go into that with the joint venture and protect yourself, get an attorney, you know, involved to say, this is what I want to do. You know, I want to keep the rights to the land, but I want them to be able to develop it. And then I want to split the rental income, you know, that kind of thing.
So I guess we all need to start asking a lot more questions.
Yes.
And not make quick decisions.
Not make quick decisions.
Based on maybe as people know, anything done really fast or sounding too good to be true,
it's probably
just that. So the other question, you mentioned that the workshop, and let me just say, the workshop is coming up on April 1st.
Saturday, April 1st, yes.
In East Point.
Yes, at the Impact Center in East Point.
And it is age appropriate for families.
Yes.
It's called Building Generational Wealth.
Yeah, it's the I Build Wealth Workshop. And it's, you know, a way to get started of building generational wealth. And every topic that you can imagine, it, you know, everybody has breakout sessions for 13 to 17 year olds, 18 to 24 year olds, and then 25 and up as adults. And so everybody's getting information that pertains to them and where they are and kind of speaks to those needs so that they can leave out with their own plan. Everybody will leave with a plan.
The reason I wanted to bring that up, though, we're on a college campus.
Yes.
And I remember some of my enterprising classmates in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. bought row houses for next to nothing.
Yes.
On neighborhoods that were not up and coming even.
Right.
And now those same houses that we had parties in, knocking windows out, are worth over $1 million.
Oh, yeah. Easily. So we're here in Atlanta, and that's easily where we're headed. Easily.
So if students here mm-hmm. on the AU campus
yes.
were interested in buying a house or buying a place to live rather than living in the dorms, how can they go about it? You know, what's the youngest person that can buy a house if you've got good credit, I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you have the credit and you have the income source, which, you know, your parent could sign for you. Or, you know, I have a 22-year-old who's going to be closing in a couple days. She's a graduate. And, you know, it's just she's actually going to buy it and rent out two of the rooms in it. So she's going to be making money from her house and taking advantage of buying in this area as it's up and coming to know that she's going to end up with a really good equity position and realizing not throwing away the rent. So April 1st, we'll be talking about real estate and entrepreneurship with, you know, that age group in particular, about how they can buy and how they can invest even, how they can even just make extra money in real estate by just learning what they see actually can turn into dollars, because they see stuff all the time. They just don't know how to really put it all together. So you want to show them how to do that, right?
They're looking at the money all around them.
They're looking at the money all around them. Oh, my gosh. And so we don't want them to leave and kicking themselves like, you know.
Like I am.
Oh, my. Yeah. So we want young wealth builders, and we want people to understand buying early, renting out, making money on these properties. Even if they say, I'm going to go to grad school in another place, buy still here in Atlanta and rent it out. It's property. It'll be here. You know, get a management company. You know, we put too much thought in that, you know, I can't, you know, I don't have time to rent it out. Okay, there are management companies for that. There are ways that you do all this. There's Airbnb now, for heaven's sake. You know what I mean? You know, we have the Super Bowl we're hosting soon here in the city. So all of this is just spells income producing assets. And that's what we need to be mindful of.
Students can even come together.
Come together. And we have that. So You know, these two guys were roommates. So one bought the property and then he still did a lease and rents to, you know, a couple other people. But he's owning the property and barely paying anything to live in it. So he cut his costs. Then parents need to look at it. I've had parents come here bringing their kids to AUC, you know, and looking around going, you know, from California and places that go, I haven't seen anything under $100,000 in, you know, Oakland in a long time, you know, and they're looking at buying for their kid to live in. And then they'll keep that as a rental. It's college campus. You're not going to have a shortage of finding a tenant pool.
So there are so many different opportunities.
So endless.
Now, Sonia, you've written the book, Wealth for Women. You have your own show where you talk about wealth building and real estate. Tell our listeners how you became an expert. How did you start and what made you develop such a passion for real estate and then to start teaching people how to do what you do?
How to do it. You know, that's a really a good question. And it is totally a passion. Sometimes I don't understand it. You know, right? Books and stuff on real estate investing. But it all started from my grandfather planting a seed. And when I was 12 years old, he said to me, looking over acres and acres of land that we own in Mississippi, he said, he who owns the land calls the shots. And I didn't understand that, of course, you know, I had to walk into that understanding. But he stayed on top of me of saying, have you bought property yet? You know, okay, you're living in Texas, you're living in Atlanta now, you're living in these places. Have you bought real estate? And so he really kind of helped to force me to look at it early, at an early age. And then, you know, I started teaching seminars. After I started buying real estate, I would buy property, live in it, fix it up. And people would always ask me, like, what are you doing? You know, I'm 24, 25 years old. And I would start having seminars at my in my living room, teaching people how to invest, not knowing that that would continue. I just thought I have some information that I thought everybody's grandfather was telling them. He who owns the land calls the shots, you know. And so it became this passion of seeing people actually go out and do things with the information. And that was really empowering for me to know that people needed the information and to see what big role it was playing in their life. And so just kept writing books and blogs. And like you said, led to YouTube shows and TV shows and radio shows. And it's just a passion that I have of wanting to see people take something that they feel they can't do. Like, you know, I could never own a building. I mean, I work with business owners that, you know, I'm going, buy your building, you know, like buy it and rent it out to some other people. And it just changes everything when you change the way that you look at real estate and know that, you know, it's the big kahuna. Everybody wants the land. Everybody wants the land. So definitely, you know, encourage young people to get involved. And it's my way of just paying back and paying the information. I had one of the best mentors in the world, the late Herman J. Russell, who I consider a real estate pioneer, and what he poured into me, I feel a sense of obligation to share it with other people. And that's where a lot of the drive and the fuel continues to come from.
I love it. So he paid it forward.
Yeah.
And you're paying it forward. And just imagine in 50 years, there's going to be someone
else
saying,
so many wealth
Sonia
builders
Booker
coming.
Was my mentor.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for her, I would not have bought this building.
Yes.
So one more time.
So go to the website, soniabooker.com, to learn more about me and some of the events and blogs, all the free information there. And then go to I Build Wealth 2017 at eventbrite.com and get registered. And you're going to be empowered, inspired, and informed in ways you could never imagine. So come out that day. It's just a wonderful day, 9 until 1 o'clock. And it's some great information and great people there that you're going to meet.
I love the fact that everyone leaves with their plan.
Everyone leaves with their plan.
And you said if you leave with a plan, you're 55%
more likely
to make that plan come true. So if you've got something that you're planning for in 2017, 2018 that involves creating wealth,
This
is the place that you need to be.
You have to be there.
Sonia Booker, thank you so much for coming and sharing this great information with our listeners. That website is soniabooker.com. Thank you.
Thank you.